Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's a blessing and an honor to be able to serve you again in this way. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 36. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. Psalm 36. Picking it up here in verse 7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Here we see David listing so many great blessings from God: his love, his protection, his provision, his delight, and his life. But it's the last line that kind of stood out to me. In your light, we see light. What did David mean by this? Well, let's first ask the question, what is light? In the physical world, I think most of us would immediately think of the sun or even the lights here in this room. What we do know is that we depend on it, especially the sun, for illumination to show us where we are and where we need to go. We also need it to avoid different dangers around us. And also, the sun literally gives our bodies life. In order to survive, we eat plants that eat the sun, or we eat animals that eat plants that eat the sun. And our bodies also absorb crucial nutrients directly from the sun into our skin. So we know what light does, but what is light? For most of us, I would say that it's probably pretty difficult to truly define what light is, and I believe that the same can be said for God and his spiritual light. So today we're going to discuss the character of God in the form of light and what that means for us as his people. And I believe the best and most natural place to start is in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," on the first day. Now, many of us often just read through these first few verses rather too quickly because we know them pretty well. But if we slow down and read the creation verses in context with each other, then we see something even greater. In verses 11 through 13, on the third day, he created all the plants and vegetation on the earth. And yet he did not create the sun, moon, and stars until the fourth day. So how can that be? Well, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." So it's my belief that God himself was the light for the first 3 days of creation. Until he created the sun, moon, and stars, God miraculously provided the light. So if you see, if we slow down enough and read the scriptures, we can see that the creation account isn't just a chronological account for the first 7 days. It was God showing us in the very beginning of who he is, because he is light, and that light is life. All the plants and vegetation that were created on the third day did not need the sun to give them life, because God was the source of light and life. So now that we have established that God has shown us exactly who he is in the very beginning, I want to go through just a few other verses in the Old Testament that continue to show the same concept of God's light. I'm just going to read these through. You don't have to turn there. In Job chapter 33, verses 29 through 30, this is in the NLT. "Yes, God does these things again and again for people. He rescues them from the grave so they may enjoy the light of life." In Psalm 56, verse 13, again in the NLT, "For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping, So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. In Psalm 132, verse 17, this is a messianic prophecy. Here I will increase the power of David. My anointed one will be a light for my people. And in Micah chapter 7, verse 8, in the New King James, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. We see in just a few verses that God is the light of life, gives light to his people, and comforts us with his light in our darkness. So what does this mean for us as God's people and Christ followers? There's a quote from author Mark Hack that says, quote, to believe that you must hide all the parts of you that are broken out of fear that someone else is incapable of loving what is less than perfect is to believe that sunlight is incapable of entering a broken window and illuminating a dark room. God saw the brokenness and the weakness and fragility in all of us because nothing is hidden from him. He was the sunlight that entered the broken window and illuminated the dark room where each of us lived. He loved us even in our darkness. He loved us before repentance. He loved us while we were still sinners. And in his compassion and mercy, he chose to bring us out of darkness and into his light. And he calls us to be the same light for the rest of the world. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, this is during the 10 plagues. It writes in chapter verse 21, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. Verse 22, so Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. This is during the 9th plague that God caused a great darkness to cover all the land of Egypt, so dark that they couldn't even see each other nor leave their homes. Yet the Israelites had light in their homes because they had God with them. Now, he actually starts this process back in Exodus 8, verses 22 through 23 during the 4th plague when he tells Moses to say to Pharaoh, I will make a difference between my people and your people. He sets the Israelites apart from the Egyptians as children of the God who is light. And this is also reiterated in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And that, of course, brings us to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, if you would please turn there with me. This is the go-to verse for light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now we see here, there's actually two examples that Jesus gives us about being a light. The first example is an example of being a light on a hill. You see, in a darkened wilderness, if you were to put a light on top of a hill, it would be impossible not to see it, because it stands out so much from the darkness around it. So, for us, in a dark world, we must be that light on the hill so that people can't help but notice that we are different, and that's when we point them to God, who is the source of light. Everything we say and do should reflect the light of him who is the light of the world. Now, one scholar is quoted as saying, We must guard our tongues and give attention to our actions. God gives us an influential position like a light on a hill that guides people safely home. This light is not for a few. It is for the world. It should attract. It should give direction. It should stand out near and far. Unquote. You see, we were created for God to be our home. And since the fall of man, the world has drifted further and further away from God. And we are to be the light that guides them back to the very place they were created to be. Now, the second example that he gives us is to be a light in a house. And there's no point in lighting a lamp and putting it under a basket if you were to have it in your home. When you light a lamp, you want it to provide light for the whole house. And we must start being a light to those closest to us. Because how can we be a light to the world if we neglect the very people who we come in contact either on a daily basis or very frequent basis? When we are a light to those in our homes, they will then go out into the world and be a light to others. The domino effect, or really a compound effect that we talked about a couple messages ago, that once it gets started, it's hard to stop. And there's a couple more verses in the New Testament that I wanted to just read off quickly here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 in the NLT. So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So at the beginning of this message, we discussed the benefits of light, that it shows us the way we should go, it reveals what's true about our surroundings, and it literally gives and sustains our bodily lives. And the same can be said about God's light that David refers to in Psalm 36. Because we see that God's light shows us the way to go. As it says in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's light reveals what's true about our spiritual surroundings. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And finally, God's light literally gives us spiritual life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, God who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, this is who we are supposed to be. This is who we're called to be, and this is the light that we're supposed to shine. God showed who he was back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, because he is light. But I believe, this is just my opinion, that he also shows who we're supposed to be in the beginning as well. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 18, he creates the physical manifestations of the light, the sun and the moon. We know that in this physical world, the sun is the source of light. And Genesis calls the moon the lesser light that rules over the world. But it does not create its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. We too do not create our own light, but must reflect the light of Christ into a world of darkness. Now, Jesus Christ is the light of life, as he says in John. He embodies all that we know spiritual light is and does. He is the way and shows us the way to go. He is the truth and reveals the truth of our spiritual surroundings. And he is the life that gives us life. He is the light of life, and in his life, we not only see light, but we become light in the Lord, and therefore become ourselves the light of the world.